Welcome into the Dean's List. Brief analysis of news and culture from a biblical worldview.
Oh, the Gospels.
A broadcast in which we seek to faithfully proclaim.
Will overcome.
The Gospel indeed will overcome.
In a world full of sorrow. By evil overrun.
It's Thursday, May 1st, 2014.
Where darkness is veiled.
I'm Paul V.
The light of the sun. We know that the gospel.
Christians across the nation today are gathering in various places in observation of the National Day of Prayer. People will be gathered in churches, in luncheons, around flagpoles, and a variety of other venues. They'll be praying, as well as engaging in various other activities, including dance, visual arts, and music, organized in many cases by the National Day of Prayer Task Force. Just what is the National Day of Prayer? It's an annual day of observance held on the first Thursday of May. Of course, it was designated by Congress, and people are asked by Congress to turn to God in prayer and meditation. The formalization of the current observance was enacted in 1952. However, days of prayer have been called for since the founding days of the nation. Continental Congress designated a time of prayer in the formation of the nation in 1775. And, of course, the National Day of Prayer is celebrated by Americans of all stripes. Certainly Christians of different denominations, Protestants, and, well, Catholics. And then, of course, there are non-Christians who celebrate the day as well, who observe the day, Sikhs, Muslims, Hindus, Jews. Obviously, we live in a diverse land. And on the National Day of Prayer, many Americans, of course, as we have noted, assemble in prayer in front of courthouses as well as, well, houses of worship, churches, mosques, synagogues, temples, luncheons, picnics, music performances revolving around praying for the nation are also popular observances. And, of course, the President of the United States issues an official National Day of Prayer proclamation each year. Now, when you think about it, the question arises, should Christians actually participate in the National Day of Prayer? And obviously, most would say, of course, and others would say, we're absolutely obligated to participate in the National Day of Prayer. John Bornshin, who is the Vice Chairman of the National Day of Prayer Task Force, is clear about why we have such a day and why we observe it. He says this, why does the United States have a day of prayer designated by Congress, signed into law by the President of the United States, recognized by all 50 governors and observed by millions of people? The reason is clear. It is etched on buildings, monuments, and memorials, defined in law and recited by students each and every day. Like it or not, this great nation is still under God, a God who is active in the affairs of men and their governing authorities. And groups like Planned Parenthood and the Freedom From Religion Foundation, among others, oppose the idea that people are accountable to an almighty God. But this is nothing new under the sun, as the author of Ecclesiastes once said. Generation after generation, people seek to tear down the institutions that uphold what remaining moral layers prevail within a civilized society, offering nothing in return. After all, it's easier to tear down than to build up. And Bornshin appeals to, well, Benjamin Franklin and various other founding fathers to buttress his idea that America is one nation under God, like it or not. Well, while Christians should pray generally speaking, may we appeal to the notion that America is one nation under God? In what sense is America one nation under God? Christians have to think more clearly on this one. America is indeed under God in the sense that all persons are accountable to Him. The decisions of individuals make individuals accountable to Him, certainly, and there's a very real sense in which whole nations are accountable to God. There's no doubt about that when you read the Scriptures. On the other hand, America is not under God in the way that Bornshin means it. America is not under God in the way that most mean it. America is not a nation under God the way most mean it, any more than Russia is a nation under God, any more than China is a nation under God, any more than North Korea is a nation under God. Here's the real issue. America is not Israel. We are not ancient Israel, ethnic Israel. We are not the new Israel. America does not stand in the same covenant relationship with God as Old Covenant Israel did. And we must not be confused on this issue. The people of God, the church, and America are two different things. Now, again, we will reaffirm that all are accountable to God, but we are not a Christian nation in any sense of the word. There is no such thing as a Christian nation. The Christian nation, according to the New Testament, is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we hold people accountable in the church in a very different way than we hold people accountable in the civil society at large. Christianity is not enforced through the government in America, nor could it ever be, nor would God want that, again, because America is not God's people. The church is God's people. And that, of course, is why it's problematic to appeal to certain founders like Benjamin Franklin, as so many are apt to do, including Borsion. Benjamin Franklin was not a Christian. He appealed to religion and the benefits that accrue in a civil society from the people being a religious people. He did not believe that a civil society could remain civil apart from religion, but he certainly was not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that brings us back to the original question. Should Christians then participate in the National Day of Prayer? A lot of Christian theologians are rather ambivalent about Christians participating in or getting all worked up over the National Day of Prayer. That's partly the case because they realize, as I said, that America does not stand in the same covenant relationship with God that National Israel did under the Old Covenant. Old Covenant calls to national prayer do not apply to Americans the same way they did to the ancient Israelites. And again, that's why it's problematic when John Borsion and the National Day of Prayer Task Force appeal to those Old Covenant texts. No doubt these fellow believers are well-meaning, but misguided. We could certainly call the church to prayer in similar fashion, the church, but not the nation. To whom would most Americans be praying? Well, obviously, most Americans would be praying to mere idols. In thinking about this distinction, the one verse that I've heard most often in the promotion of the National Day of Prayer, of course, is 2 Chronicles 7:14. I heard it just this morning on Christian Talk Radio. But God's promise to heal the land if his people who are called by his name, you know, humble themselves and pray. God's promise to heal the land does not apply to America, but to his covenant people, Israel. And again, America is not God's people. Of course, 2 Chronicles 7:14 does apply to the church because the church is God's people. God promises to heal the church where it needs healing if his people will humble themselves and pray. Another reason certain theologians are not completely committed to the National Day of Prayer is its ecumenical nature. As I've alluded to already, non-Christians will be praying to idols alongside Christians who will be praying to God. There will be many gatherings where Christians and pagans are praying side by side to no one in particular so as not to offend. A case in point from Cleveland.com, Cleveland City Councilman Zach Reed has recruited non-Christians to join him at City Hall and Public Square in observance of the National Day of Prayer. Although the prayers will be Christian in nature, Reed said he visited area synagogues, temples, and mosques, as well as Catholic and Christian churches of many denominations, to personally extend invitations and ensure that the event is one at which all would feel welcome. Here's what he said. It is simply one day when everybody stops to pray to their God in whatever way they choose. And that's why we opened it up and reached out to other religions. We're just hoping to get the congregations together to pray that we can make a difference in the lives of the people we serve. Well, obviously, Christians can't participate in that kind of gathering. Of course, there will be gatherings that are exclusively Christian, and there will be Christians praying in the privacy of their own homes. Hence the mixed feelings some have concerning the whole thing. Obviously, that part of it is good. So in the minds of some, there's a real question on the table, though. It's not illegitimate. Accordingly, let's affirm that a congressional call to the nation to pray is nothing less than civil religion and not Christian. In other words, I too am ambivalent as well about the U.S. Congress National Day of Prayer. Congress is not the people of God. Let's also affirm again that we can't stand side by side with non-Christians and pray to a benign deity. On the other hand, the Bible does tell Christians to pray for the nation. Paul said this, "Therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence." The question that struck me as I was thinking about all the talk surrounding the National Day of Prayer, with the Pentagon banning certain Christian leaders in the past and other related issues, as well as the considerations that I've mentioned, the question that struck me was quite simple. Am I praying for our leaders and the nation as God commands? Would not today be a good day to pray for the nation as any day would? Would it not be appropriate to gather with fellow believers and pray for the nation because God's people are called to pray and because God hears the prayers of his people? If I miss a prayer gathering today, I'm not unspiritual because Congress has declared a national day of prayer, but it would be a wonderful thing to pray for the nation today. In fact, it would be the best thing we could do today for a nation filled with lost people. God doesn't promise to change hearts through political action, but he does promise to change hearts through prayer. Paul says he desires even kings to be saved. And God is the only one who can save any and all of our national leaders who are not saved. And he wants us to pray for him to work in their hearts. And that's why Paul says that prayer for our nation's leaders is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. At the same time, God wants us to pray for our national leaders that we may lead quiet and peaceable lives. Prayer is God's weapon to keep the state from overreaching into our lives. Of course, such notions highlight the fact that God doesn't promise to honor his kingdom advance through public policy decisions, but he does promise to advance his kingdom through prayer. And that reality, combined with what we've said to this point, highlights the fact that God is more concerned with his kingdom than he is with man's kingdom, America. They are not the same thing. So, yes, pray today. Join fellow believers in prayer. And think about what you're praying for when you do. Pray for the nation that things would get better. Pray for our leaders that the government might not intrude further into our lives. Pray for their salvation. And pray for God's kingdom to advance on this National Day of Prayer, because God's kingdom is ultimate, not this earthly kingdom. God's promises are to his people, the church, not a nation, not in covenant with him. A few years ago, I posted an article on this same issue. A woman named Sally posted a comment. She said this, "Thank you, Dr. Dean. I've really been struggling with the strange notions folks at our church seem to have about how to participate in the National Day of Prayer. We're a fundamental Bible-centered church, but we join hands with any and every church in our mountain community. Then we have a prayer breakfast, like we have to eat. How about a prayer fast?" Anyway, we have a prayer breakfast and invite a Christian politician to come speak about what a mess everything is. And even though I kneel in private and cry out for God's mercy on our unworthy nation, my prayer has always been toward praying for the remnant of true saints to hold fast to the true, inerrant, unchanging Word of God in the middle of this dark generation. What hope does a nation have apart from the brave children of God who dwell there? Anyway, I was really encouraged by your article and the clarification of the verses that are tossed about so carelessly with regard to this day. I sometimes feel like a lone voice." Well, Sally, you're not alone. I sometimes feel that way too. But just as God told Elijah, "I have reserved 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal," so too he has reserved a people for himself today. And it's those people, the church, you, me, God's people across this great land, all across the globe who can make a difference in this world. And as we pray to the true and living God, as we seek to advance His kingdom and not our own or any other earthly kingdom, God will hear our prayers. We will participate in that which God is doing because it's the gospel that overcomes. You've been listening to The Dean's List, analysis of news and culture from a biblical worldview. Sign up to receive The Dean's List via email along with other items of interest at deanslistcommentary@gmail.com. or simply go to our website, trueworldview.net, where you'll find other helpful resources. I'm Paul Dean. Join me next time for The Dean's List.